My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He is also a Fox News analyst. We want to get his thoughts after a full week of attention to the news that North Korea reportedly has missile-ready nuclear weapons. That has led to plenty of intense rhetoric, North Korean threats of firing missiles near Guam, and more. So how does the U.S. pass this test in such a way that achieves our aims and also lets other bad actors like Iran know there is a new administration in charge? And Captain Nash, thanks very much, as always, for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
First of all, real quickly, how big of a game changer is this revelation when it comes to our policy towards North Korea?
Well, there was a bombshell article this past Tuesday in the Washington Post where it went back and looked at some testimony that occurred up on Capitol Hill back in 2013 during the Obama administration, where a congressman let slip a DIA assessment that the North Koreans were capable then of building a miniature nuclear weapon that could fit on a missile. And the Obama administration did everything they could to downplay it and, in fact, made it disappear because they were trying to pursue a policy of what was termed strategic patience, which you and your listeners probably have heard those words recently out of Secretary of State Tillerson, who said that the era of strategic patience is over. So we're starting to come to the realization that they do have a capability, that the intelligence community did know about it, but that the Obama administration buried that information. And as we say in the Navy, bad news does not get better with age, and this is aging out and it's starting to stink.
Well, you mentioned the revelation that the Obama administration buried it. Of course, the National Security Advisor at that time was Susan Rice, who wrote this week that rather than getting belligerent in any way, we should just learn to live with a nuclear North Korea. Your reaction to that?
That's absolutely insane. If you knew that you had a mass murderer, which Kim Jong-un is, he has starved hundreds of thousands of his people, has prison camps all over the country, and has a population that's living on subsistence. If you had a mass murderer living next door to you, and he suddenly got weapons where he could kill your family, are you going to wait and assume that nothing's going to happen, or are you going to take action on that? Well, you might say, well, that's a bad analogy, Chuck, because I would call the police, and the police would say, well, until he's done something, we really can't do anything. And, oh, by the way, if you look at the neighborhood, that's the neighborhood over there, Japan, all of our allies in the region, and guess who the cops are? That would be us.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit more about the policy in just a moment. But one of the things that the media in the United States has been very, very alarmed by, at least publicly, is the tough talk coming from President Trump, talking about the fire and fury. And then later in the week saying he wasn't even sure that was a tough enough statement because he says it's time for somebody to stand up for the American people and for our allies when it comes to the North Koreans who have been doing this sort of saber rattling for decades now. On the one hand, you've got the folks who think it's reckless and could unintentionally spark a reaction from Kim Jong-un that we wouldn't want to see. And on the other hand, there's a lot of people saying, look, the only thing that these people understand is the credible threat of force. And that is what the president and to some extent Secretary Mattis have been doing in their statements this week. So how do you read it?
I take the latter. And that is that, look, the time for, to use the term, pussyfooting around and being really diplomatic, that time is over. Just as Tillerson said, strategic patience, that's over. We're now at the point of having kicked the can down the road. The road has come to a fork. And as the wide sage, I don't know who exactly said it, but when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yogi Berra, yeah.
Here you go. We're there. And now something's going to happen. Either we are going to acquiesce to having a madman with nuclear weapons who is only going to continue to pursue and refine that capability, or we're going to do something different than we have been doing, which was kicking a can down the road, hoping, which is not a strategy, that things would get better. So I think that the administration is taking the exact right messaging tone, which is not just to Kim Jong-un. That message is to Russia and to specifically to China. And what this president is saying is, look, if that guy does anything that makes me itch, you're not going to like it, because we're going to do something. And as you know, China came out, I believe it was yesterday, with a statement that said, if the United States preemptively strikes North Korea, China will defend North Korea. If, however, North Korea provokes the United States, they're on their own. And that's the message that we're seeing now coming, that tough talk hitting China and then echoing immediately into North Korea.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chuck, because I want to ask a two-part response to that in terms of a question. What does China determine to be a legitimate provocation on the part of the North Koreans that would make them stand down in that situation? And secondly, how big of a concession is it from the Chinese that if the United States isn't the initial aggressor, that it's not going to defend North Korea?
I think to the first part of the question, what would constitute that threat, where it would be justifiable for the United States? The verbiage that I am familiar with from their statement was threaten the territory of the United States. Now, territory of the United States. Guam is a U.S. protectorate. So that is territory of the United States, as is Hawaii, as is any of the 50 American states. So there's that. And then the second part of the question, what would they do about it? I think for them to protect North Korea, I believe they would do whatever they need to do that would stop U.S. forces from taking measurable action inside Korea, and which means fighter protection, missiles, anything to protect it, because they're afraid of the United States reunifying the peninsula without their direct input.
Chuck, let's talk about Guam just for a moment here. Obviously, that's a threat, as we've heard from the governor of Guam this week, that is not new. That's been threatened by North Korea from time to time. Right now, they claim that later this month, they're going to have finalized plans to fire four different missiles that'll splash down somewhere from 19 to 25 miles off of the coast of Guam. Would that be considered an adequate threat, first of all? And secondly, if they do fire them, is that good target practice for our missile defense guys?
I think that would be an adequate and justifiable defense act that would call for a direct kinetic U.S. response, yes. To the second part of your question, yes. We've got the Aegis system afloat in Navy ships for the mid-course intercept. And there are THAAD systems on the island of Guam for the terminal intercept of those missiles. But if you shoot four, you can't assume that they're not actually targeted for Guam, because it's going to look very close to the people out at our Space Command at NORAD who track these kind of missile launches. But the fact that they're doing it, you can't just sit there and again, hope that he wouldn't really target Guam when you've got missiles that could be nuclear armed headed in that direction. Intolerable situation. Intolerable situation.
In addition, of course, to the threat posed by North Korea, you and I have talked so many times, Captain Nash, about the threat posed by Iran now and why you believe the 2015 nuclear deal was a big mistake on the part of the Obama administration. So The Iranians are obviously not in the headlines in the past few days as this plays out, but they're obviously watching very closely to see how we respond to it. So what are they looking for, and what message do we want to send them?
I think Iran and North Korea took the lessons of history, recent history, on what happened to Muammar Gaddafi when he gave up his weapons of mass destruction, mostly chemical, but also gave up some nuclear material. When he gave up those programs, that didn't help him. In fact, the United States partnered with NATO and went and deposed him. Before that, the Serbs had nothing, so they got pummeled. And then in Iraq, same thing happened. You know, there was a nuclear program supposedly underway. It was the no-brainer. And what happened? Before he could get them, we went in and took them out. So the lesson is, if you've got nuclear weapons capability, don't give them up. Because if you do, you're in trouble. Look at the Russians with Ukraine. the Brits, the United States, and the Russians all signed an agreement that they would protect the territorial and political integrity of the Ukraine if they gave up the nuclear weapons after the USSR fell. How'd that work out for them?
Exit question here. What's the right way for the Trump administration to proceed here in order to hopefully solve the situation, or at least resolve the immediate tension, while also conveying the messages we want to convey?
I think they need to stand tough. The rhetoric's already out there. Our position is clear. The president's laid it out. As you pointed out in the lead-in, Secretary Mattis has backed that up. Secretary Tillerson has backed that up. It's a unified voice. The last thing that the United States needs now is anybody to break ranks and, you know, as the former Prime Minister of England once said to I think it was George Bush, don't go weak-kneed on me now. That we don't need that right now, okay? Because too much political capital is on the line here, and it's clear that it's working because the Chinese just backed off by telling the North Koreans, if you do something stupid, you're going to get the results, and we're not going to stand up for you.
A lot to follow here in the coming days. We'll see if the North Koreans actually make good on the threat on Guam. We'll see. I have my doubts, but we'll find out. Chuck, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for your time today.
You as well. Thank you, Greg.
Chuck Nash, retired U.S. Navy captain, Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.